This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, didn't quite finish it during the break, but I'm well over.
You put a good dent.
I'm well over halfway through the Z-Man.
I will
say,
still
very hot too, man. That was legit.
For those who want a Z-Man, we'll do it later in the show because you know I'm not a monster. I'm not going to just keep it for myself. You know, the gentleman over at Joe's Kansas City handed me. He said, "Do you guys do some giveaways during the show sometimes?" I said, "Yeah, of course." He said, "Cool. I have a card for you. It says is free Z-Man for a year."
Oh baby, yes.
One Z-Man. Once a week for the whole year. So later in the show, maybe like
let's do that.
Noon hour, we'll give this bad boy away. That way, if somebody's interested in a Z-Man a week for the year, I know for a fact you would just be like, okay, I guess it's Joe's day every Saturday. You know,
remember
after
I
your
once
show.
Won the through the pick'em contest we
wings?
Did. No, through the pick'em contest.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
$500 Joe's gift card.
I do remember that. Yeah,
I got my. I mean, I used every bit of that. Used every single bit of that. So appreciate Joe's for coming in, and obviously the Royals as well. They're excited to announce their partnership. And if you're going out to Kauffman Stadium at all this year, beginning on opening day, right field behind Rivals, you can get a Z-Man sandwich and some onion rings. So appreciate them bringing in some food as well. And be nice to have. You're right, though, about the local barbecue thing. And, you know, a lot of times you're like, you go to a ballpark or a stadium, and you're like, well, you can't get the same local restaurants that you would get around town. Well, not the case. You can actually get the Z-Man right there at Kauffman Stadium. Before we had the folks from Joe's and the Royals come in. We were talking with Matt Miller. I just wanted to real quick react to that, and we can get to some actual Royals conversation, including maybe a player they were targeting, but a player still kind of waiting to see what other offers might be out there, and it maybe tells us about the area the Royals are still interested in improving the roster. But Matt Miller, you asked about the left tackle. He said, I do think there are options to be day one starters at tackle. He said there's like 5 names, but he said out of these 5 names, a lot of these teams are going to convert to guard. And so, well, if they're going to convert to guard, then it obviously means that they are not fits, right, for Kansas City. Like if all these other teams are converting guys to guard, well, then that's not going to be the area that the Chiefs are going to be able to actually draft and feel like of the first round pick they're going to go find their long-term answer.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is like I know he's saying there's some guys who can play tackle. That conversation is exactly why they can't draft a tackle in the first round. I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm sorry. If half the league thinks at least half of these guys aren't even going to play. So at least 2 of these guys aren't even going to play tackle, most likely because of how many they think are switching to guard. One of them is a right tackle, definitively not the Chiefs' need today. It is an eventual need, but it's not a need today. Are we in the business of, you want to talk about luxury pick? He said a wide receiver would be a luxury pick. Taking a right tackle you have no intention to start for a year is also a massive luxury. At least the wide receiver would be a player you could use now, so that doesn't make any sense to me. So I'm already out on 3/5. One of those guys will go long before you ever get a chance. Maybe one choice available. This feels like a third round thing. It is the vet option thing. I go back to the same stuff where it's just like sometimes years align and you and I have pushed for trade up, make these moves. There are tackles available, some that make sense. It just doesn't make sense this year. It does not make sense to solve your left tackle problem long term. And I tried to go through the teams and different team reporting and find the Orlando Brown Jr., the left tackle who's unhappy, who you can trade a first round pick for and pay a bunch of money to. He does not exist. That is a unicorn. It is not a real thing that exists in the market this time. Matter of fact, it doesn't exist in the market very often. It was weird when it existed with Orlando Brown Jr. And it was only because he was mostly a right tackle, then got to play a little left tackle, and they liked their other left tackle. I just think you have to. I think you have to draft later in the draft and hope. Maybe they're a guard, maybe they're a tackle, and you just help your offensive line and you take a free agent left tackle.
The other position and player we asked about. Hey, if the Chiefs don't bring back Nick Bolton, can they find their linebacker of the future there? And he listed multiple guys. He also mentioned the dude that came up in our mock draft a couple times out of Oklahoma, Danny Stutzman, that has been mentioned multiple times. It seems like he would be a perfect another thumper in the run game, like almost direct replacement. Does struggle in coverage, kind of thing. But that's somebody that we're going to hear more and more about, I think, as we get closer and closer to the draft. Like maybe a fourth round pick that the Chiefs can just find their Nick Bolton replacement, assuming they do not bring him back, which right now most people think they won't. But maybe Bolton tests the open market and it's not as appealing as he thought it was going to be. And he realizes, okay, maybe the Chiefs valuing me, the evaluation they gave me was correct. And this is what I'm worth, not as much as I thought I was going to get on the open market.
And what he said is telling the truth a little bit too, which is, most teams are moving away from a linebacker like Nick Bolton. Well, Gold, if most teams are doing that, what's your market?
Right.
Who's the team that wants to side the thumping linebacker if most of the market is dictating that we're not using that kind of linebacker? The Chiefs are using that kind of linebacker, and a few other teams are. It's certainly not zero, but the idea that like there are less teams than normal operating under that circumstance means that there probably aren't that many people who are possibly doing it. And so like, I think he's got to have a limited market. I'm still not totally convinced that Nick Bolton won't be back, but I have questions over that just because of the fact that there aren't that many teams who operate the way the Chiefs do defensive. We talked about this with guard and everything else and all the stuff in between, but there's also a reason why they're going to let Nick Bolton actually get to free agency next week and feel out his market, and versus like what they're doing now with Trey Smith, in my opinion, which, you know, when they franchise him and are planning on holding on to him. It is interesting about T. Higgins. Like for you, Drew, you okay? He mentioned T. Higgins. He said maybe tag and trade. Those are rare.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, I think that's a possibility. The idea, though, that they would let him get to free agency without
tag and trade and then draft Luther Burden is what he was joking about.
I mean, I think that there's...
I mean, if that's it, Drew will probably live, but...
I mean, if they lose T. Higgins, then yeah, wide receiver becomes a need, but you can handle your business and still spend money in free agency on the defensive end while also drafting the place that you sucked at last year, which was the defensive side of the ball. So why use their first rounder on a wide receiver running back when you can draft a defensive lineman?
We'll get to the trash of the day coming up in 15 minutes or so. We'll also head out to Arizona a little bit later on to talk some Royals with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, and maybe get his reaction as well to this report that we're going to discuss out of the New York Post, which is that the Royals recently, according to Joel Sherman of the New York Post, tried to sign Adam Duvall.
Duvall.
That's all I'll ever think about when I hear anybody with the name Adam Duvall or Duvall, period, Duvall County. Adam Duvall's a vet at the end of his career. Last year did not have a great year.
That is putting it so mildly.
Atlanta Braves. Yeah, I'm being nice. I'm being very nice. 36 years old. He was not good. Like he hit 182 with a 569 OPS. Okay. Now against lefties, his slash line, the reason why some teams might have some interest, 252, 342, 514 was his slash line. And the report says the Royals were intrigued by him, discussed bringing him in. The report says the Royals were offering $1 million guaranteed. Adam Duvall said, I want $3 million or I'll just retire. And that's why he is still a free agent.
Okay, retire.
Retire then,
dude.
Right? Yeah, retire then if that's the case.
Again, he's a career 227 hitter with a 287 on base percentage and a 459 slug. He has stayed in the league because of his defense. I don't know how to put it any mildly than that. He is not in the league because he can hit. And even for a guy who can't hit and has never really hit all that well at any particular time in his Major League Baseball career, he was particularly bad last year, in which he hit 182, 245 on base, as you mentioned. No power, hit zero homers. He has 15.
Was it zero? I thought he had. Why did I think he hit 11? Maybe I'm working at the wrong numbers.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at triples. I apologize. He had 11 homers. You're right. So a little bit of power. Used to have bigger power when he was younger, way younger. But like, they just wanted a utility guy who was better than like the 24-year-old utility guy.
Well, he's an outfielder too. We all know their issues in the outfield. They're trying to find different guys to match up. I think what it, take the Adam
Duvall
part of it out of this equation. The fact that they were still even at a cheap price looking for an outfielder or another bat. Even
tells you that they're not sure.
Yeah,
sure. Which it says more about like, are we sure that we're going with MJ and Massey and India and these, are we sure that we're just going to stick every former catcher, former second baseman? What, you know, are we going to stick all these guys out in the outfield and just rotate through? Are we comfortable with that? All he would have been, in my opinion, is a security blanket. Honestly, kudos to the Royals, though.
Yeah, don't overpay. Don't overpay.
I know that there's no difference between, like, fundamentally between the Royals' payroll. There's not some massive difference in $1 and $3 million. But, like, stand on principle. He's not a $3 million player. And the truth is, I'm glad they didn't sign him. I would rather they put a second baseman who can actually hit in left field than watch someone play left field hitting 182. I would take my chances. I'll take my chance. I really will. I would rather somebody in the minors, another Weimer. I'd rather so many other guys have a chance to do that than just like rolling out him. I felt like this was like the all-time security blanket. Like, you know what? For $1 million, he'll offer a little security like we get through the next 3 weeks of spring training and try to figure out where we are. And if we owe him $1 million and we walk on him, cool.
Well, and if you're talking about a guy that clearly is a year away from retiring or is willing to consider retirement and he's say, hey, I'll just stay at home if you won't up the offer by $2 million. With the kind of the culture and clubhouse they've built at this point in time, part of you is like, do you, if that's all the guy is really caring about at this present day of his career, does that the guy want to come in? Is he going to be happy with his role anyway? Is that going to even work out? So the market is also saying that the Royals are correct. Nobody else has signed him for $3 million. So it's not like this is a, oh, well, some other team was willing to do it. Now, injuries happen. If you're a month into the season and he's still in shape and something happens, then you revisit the conversation.
This
and maybe
like a body on a really bad team to me more than anything else.
We'll see. I mean, he's Adam Duvall was not a name that people were clamoring for by any means, but I thought that report was interesting from the New York Post that the Royals were interested. It tells you they're interested in still maybe an outfield bat. That's why ultimately, if you were to go through and talk to a lot of Royals fans like we have, a lot of people think there's still need another outfield bat. It never came to be. If the team's competitive the way we think they're going to be competitive in a divisional race again and all that, well, then that's the conversation I'm sure throughout the entire summer we will have about, hey, could they go and move somebody to go make something happen? If, in fact, the plan doesn't work, as in, does MJ Melendez not kind of flip his career with the changes he's making? Do they not get production from Michael Massey in the outfield if he ends up playing X amount of games in the outfield? If all that stuff doesn't work, well, then you start talking about trade stuff. We got months and months and months from now.
Jack Caglione is just raking in double A.
I still think that's... that's the fun one to think about. I still think that's a bit of a pipe dream heading into the season to think that that's something that's even going to happen in August. It takes him playing at an extremely high level. It takes him likely learning right field, and it takes the struggles from the big league club at least at one or two areas. So a lot has to happen before I think Cags is that answer. I think Jack Caglione is the answer in 2026. Like, if you're going to look back and say, hey, they didn't add an outfield bat this year, you might be saying, well, thank goodness they didn't spend all that money, because next year, maybe it is Jack Caglione in 2026 as your right fielder or left fielder.
And we know that they haven't started that transition yet, because it's like, well, let's just play him at his natural position in the minors until we need a bat. And if his bat is forcing himself into the major leagues, guess what they'll do? They'll start playing him in left, or they'll start playing him in right, I think more likely. And they'll start figuring out a way to get his bat in the lineup. He's got to force their hand. Jack Caglione, he's got to like make them make that decision, which is tough, but like, yeah, it's fine. I mean, I'm glad. I mean, I know that it's a difference of $2 million, and if you wanted the player at one, you don't want him at three at all. Like, it doesn't seem like that big of a difference in price, but it is, because your plan, I think he was just a safety net, not even to start the year, Gold. Does that make sense? They wanted to pay him $1 million, get him in camp, and see how he compared to the people they had. And if he compared worse or less favorably, they would have just said, it's been nice seeing you, Adam. Here's $1 million. Appreciate your time and effort. And they would have just walked, even at the end of spring training, in order to do that. They just wanted some competition out there, or somebody who knows how to play the position, and a little bit of like, hey, we're all doing this together stuff. And at $3 million, that's not worth it. Just going to have to be on the coaches and the other guys who have played that position before.
Coming up in 8 minutes, we'll get to the trash of the day here on 96.5 The Fan. But sticking with baseball, this one I think is way more troubling and certainly should frustrate a lot of baseball fans. And this is the fact that the head of the MLB Players Association, Tony Clark, is already out here 2 sports ago saying, yeah, we expect a lockout after the 2026 season. Quote, unless I'm mistaken, the league has come out and said there's going to be a work stoppage. So I don't think I'm speaking out of school in that regard. For those that don't know, the current CBA will expire December 1st of 2026. It's obviously March of 2025 now. The fact that you are this far out, and in fairness, I think the league too, maybe to a certain extent, already both acknowledging, oh yeah, we're going to have a work stoppage. That just sucks as a baseball fan to hear already this far in advance that they both realize, oh yeah, we're in for a war kind of thing here when it comes to negotiating.
You got 24 months to work
this out.
Start
working on it now. That's not how they do it, though, man.
Why?
It's crazy.
It's just like, does this sport hate its fans? Like, and I love baseball. I genuinely love baseball. But it's like, this is really, for me, the only remaining issue that, like, holds them back. They've moved up the pace of play. They've got some stars. They're trying to increase the action. Their playoffs are great. They got some things that really, really, really work in their favor as a sport. But if every 5 years I got to watch you not play baseball because mom and dad are fighting again, like, it's just too much. And to say 2 years in advance, you were already anticipating a work stoppage. I hate hearing that. I really hate hearing that.
Rob Manfred told The Athletic about a month ago in a quote that was just bizarre kind of as well. He said it's actually a positive. Quote, there is leverage associated with an offseason lockout in the process of collective bargaining under the National Labor Relations Act works based on leverage. The great thing about offseason lockouts is the leverage that exists gets applied between the bargaining parties. Like, no fan wants to hear that. Saying that, it's the great thing.
It's
about
actually good if we get locked out.
The great thing about offseason lockouts. Yeah, leverage. I guess
The last lockout cost you half a season.
I guess for the owners,
not that much. Cost you like a week.
The pressure you put on players because there's, you know, obviously you're talking about financial elements and families trying to make it work. And I'm not talking about the higher end guys. I'm talking about the guys that are on the low end of the totem pole payroll wise in Major League Baseball. The fact that you do a lockout, you do that strictly to put them in a really, really tough spot where they're forced to get back to work and cave. That's why on that side you think it's a positive or whatever. Like, we all know the two biggest issues, salary cap, salary floor. The luxury tax is kind of a soft cap. The floor,
there is no floor.
There is none. And I don't think, while players would love a salary floor, I don't think owners have any intention of ever doing that. And so here we are. And we're
unless it came with a cap and the players don't want a cap, and
that's why both parties understand that likely heading to a lockout. You cannot, with the stars in the league right now, and obviously here in Kansas City, thinking about what that would mean, that'd be right in the middle of the prime years of Bobby Witt Jr. I know we're talking something
hopefully
in 2026.
It's just an off-season lockout, though. You know, like, to his point.
I don't know, man.
Like, the last lockout didn't really cost them. Like, remember, we had planned, like, a wiffle ball game because we were going to do opening day, even if baseball wasn't going to do opening day. And they did this, like, truncated spring of nonsense that felt like it set some Royals pitchers back and was a bit bizarre a little bit. But they got the season in, right? Most of the games were played. The problem is that, let's just say you play 162 games, but you're locked out December, January, February, and March, you know, even parts of March, and you do this truncated thing, and you get to the regular season, it's like a couple weeks late, but you get to it, and you do everything you're supposed to do outside of that. You guys are forgetting about another part of this, Major League Baseball, which is optics. We, as fans, tune out when billionaires fight against millionaires over millions. You know, like, it's like it turns into this, like, you get turned off by the sport because every 5 years I got to watch you fight again. That's the problem. It's not that you, like, I actually think it would cost him 80 games or something. I don't think.
Oh, I think the concern is that they will actually miss games in 2026. If they miss January and February, I don't think fans really care that much because they're like, okay, whatever. Are you missing games in 2026? And based on the wording that's already being used, verbiage.
Sounds like they're both just agreeing to it, essentially.
I think there's a real chance. Like, I truly think there will be games missed in 2026, and that is just devastating to a sport that does have a lot of stars right now in it, that has some decent momentum going for it. But we all know there's so many entertainment options, and we know the demographics of the league are trending older than other sports. They just are, and you're always trying to get the younger sports fan to care about your sport and how regionalized it is, and you're trying to make it a national sport. So a lot of this has to do with the TV stuff, which is a whole other topic of conversation around the same time. I hope that's not the case, but, like, right this second, if you said, do I think they will miss games in 2026, I would say yes.
This is such a problem with the sport. You're saying 2 years from now, you think
they're already talking about work stoppages, man.
You know, you could just have meetings. I don't know how to break this to anybody. You are allowed to meet now, like right now. If I thought I was going to leave this job in 2 years, I could technically do something about it.
Yeah, and people
for
on the
next
text line,
2 years.
913-586-7965. Some people are saying, hey, this is what they need, you know, a couple steps back, massive step forward kind of thing. I hear you, but let's say it was worst case scenario. It was an entire year lockout. There's some fans that would, much like in the 90s, would say, I'm just done. I don't care. Even if maybe that's what it takes to get a salary floor, or that's what it takes to get a salary cap. I think that would be good for the sport long term. But in the short term, you're going to have some fans that are upset that maybe, you know, the diehards will be there. The casual fan may just say, hey, I don't need this thing. And that's the danger and the risk,
like,
that both parties are
watching
playing
baseball during the 94 strike for a while. And it took him a long, probably till the Royals were good again in 14 or 15 to come fully back.
Yeah, I mean, someone on the text line says their dad, they said, hasn't watched a single game since the strike in the 90s. And he's not alone. Obviously, there's some people that came back. A lot of people came back, but that's the danger. And I know it's so, you're like, well, it's just so far out. Why are we talking about it?
Because they're talking about it
already. That's what sucks.
Like, they're already, like, they're not just talking about it. They're saying, oh yeah, we'll have a work stoppage. It's fine. And you're like, no. And then you got the commissioner being like, oh, it's good. We like to break. We like to take stoppages. It's good to have a little break because then we're forced to get back together.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? Like,
I understand.
You guys just did this. Like, that's part of it. It's like, you just did this. Work out a longer deal. How about that? Let's start with that. Put 20 years on paper or something. Let's get over whatever the nonsense is. Is there anything else they want besides cap and floor? Like, I haven't heard a single and the legitimate problem is one side wants one thing, definitively doesn't want the other, and vice versa. So I guess good luck? Like, that doesn't even make any sense. You guys want opposing things.
Hence why there's going to be this situation. Someone says, hey, I agree with you, but sometimes, you know, it has to happen no matter what, just to make things. I understand negotiations, deadlines, and all that kind of stuff, spur action and yada yada, but like, I don't think the sport could afford multiple months of a strike, of a lockout. That would be devastating with the entertainment dollars that are being spread to other places already as is, and everything that exists with other sports. So I doubt we'll talk about this for a while, but it'll be something heading into to next season and the year after, obviously, with that offseason. December of 2026 is actually when this would expire.
Trash of the day.
All right, this one takes us to WJAC-TV in Pennsylvania. All right?
Okay.
Like, you shouldn't do this anyway, but if you're going to have some substances in your car, maybe,
like, illicit substances?
Yeah, you might want to be extra careful while driving.
Makes sense.
So officials,
like, if I was driving illegally with an illegal substance, I should
ride and dirty.
Yeah, that's smart. Smart.
Yeah. So
I forgot my license at home. I was driving without a license for like a week. No, I haven't now. But I drove without my license for like a week.
Did you just empty your wallet? Clean your wallet?
My wife needed it for like filling out a form, and then I just forgot, and then I'd given it to her. So I just, like, I didn't realize I didn't have it.
Good thing you didn't get pulled over then.
Yeah. Right.
Really
so,
good thing.
So this story, police say, two individuals are each facing a variety of drug-related charges. Police say troopers discovered a 57-year-old woman also in the back seat who was, quote, barely alive. They got pulled over. According to the complaint, 64-year-old for allegedly following another vehicle too closely. So just following in a construction zone way too closely on I-80 there in Pennsylvania. Police said in the front passenger seat was a gentleman who was determined to have several warrants out for his arrest as well. And then as they were in this vehicle, they found multiple substances. There was also this woman that was barely alive, you know, passed out. They believe that the bag had fentanyl in it, and then a glass smoking device was found on the ground. Overall, there was a total of, let's see, what was the weight on it of drugs that were actually in the vehicle?
I don't know that it matters.
Well,
3 pounds, it says.
3 pounds. One felony charge of manufacturing.
3 pounds? Oh, man, yeah, that's a lot.
Delivering or possession with intent to manufacture. The update on this, I just saw they updated the story this morning since we've done this. The woman that was found in the backseat of the car ended up dying from fentanyl overdose on this thing.
So this
as well.
Guy was with a half-dead woman in the backseat.
Yes. Just maybe why they were following
the
vehicle
right
close.
Right up on the side of the bumper of somebody else through a construction zone. You got to be like 10 and 2. I guess you're probably not thinking about that if you're on meth.
That's
you're probably not
issue.
Thinking about the rules you should follow in traffic if you're on a hard drug at that exact moment, right? Can we all admit? Like,
would,
that might be part of the problem
I
here.
I think that's accurate as well.
Yeah, probably not too focused on
three packages containing a total of 3 pounds of meth were found in the trunk of the vehicle, as well as 14 stamp bags of fentanyl on the back seat of the vehicle.
14?
Dang. How old are these people?
Various ages. The passenger seat was 35-year-old, driver was 64, and then I believe the woman that died, I guess.
I think
57.
50s, yeah. Dang.
So, yeah, that...
I didn't know about the death part. I wouldn't have done the story if I knew someone died. But
it got dark there in a hurry, man.
That was the update this morning.
Drugs are bad is really the lesson of this story. And can get you at any age, as you mentioned to somebody who's in their 30s and in their 50s and 60s.
That's correct.
You've been at it for a while if you were like... I mean, you're still like...
Well, these people weren't just doing it. They were
3 pounds of
clearly
meth.
Distributing. They had 3 pounds of it. So they weren't just... It wasn't just for them. Yeah. Uh-huh. In Pennsylvania. That's the trash of the day.
If someone offered you $1 billion...
Oh, jeez. Here we go.
And you had to try to be a drug dealer for a year, and you had to risk all the like legal consequences, would you do it? You get the $1 billion up front.
Uh-huh.
You got to be a full-blown drug dealer for 1 year.
Like a big-time drug dealer or just,
like,
you know...
Like this amount. You got to deal in... Wait. Pounds.
No, it's not worth spending. It's not worth spending. I don't know what the penalty is.
You're not selling Drew a dime bag.
It's not worth. I don't know what these people are facing. 20 years in prison or something like that. No, it's $1 billion is not worth.
You'd be a first time offender, you know?
Yeah, that doesn't change.
No,
that doesn't matter.
There's not a price of 20 years of my freedom. There's not a price tag on that.
I mean, I'm not saying you have to deal like hundreds of pounds.
You said you had
not
to,
like was it Esteban Loaiza? Didn't he get caught with like 80 pounds or something once?
You said you have to do it for a year.
Not a former eight. That's a hell of a point.
1 year. Yeah. He got busted for like
something
for like traveling with cocaine.
The question is, Cody, would you do this?
He asked the question. You have a wife and kids.
That's why I can't.
No way.
You know,
I can't believe you're hesitating.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a year.
This.
Maybe I'd be, you know, like,
oh, so,
what are the odds most drug dealers get caught in a year?
Oh, geez.
You know,
no, but you have to actively be doing it. You're going to get caught.
Yeah, it's concerning. It's concerning
because you might be following somebody too closely.
No. I'm following the rules. I wouldn't worry about that.
I might deal drugs, but I follow all the traffic rules.
Well,
that's what
I'm saying. If I am, this is the point of your trash of the day.
Uh-huh.
If you don't, it's always the thing. Don't commit a crime while you're committing a crime. That's a classic crime stuff. Don't. Wait. You know, don't break the law while you're breaking the law.
If you get stopped for whatever reason, that's what you'll say. You know, I follow all the traffic laws. I do deal, but yes.
Yeah, no, the answer, there's no dollar amount for freedom, for not being behind bars.
Agreed.
And I know some people will say there is, but
what, this is the problem. Esteban Loaiza was arrested for being pulled over driving 120 miles an hour, and then later was caught with 44 pounds, I overestimated, of cocaine.
44 pounds?
44 pounds of cocaine.
Is there something that people have against Winnetonka, Cody, where you went because...
You know!
Because the text line
is... We got a bad rap, and it's nonsense.
People are saying, talking about you trying to ruin people's lives on the text line.
Who's laughing? No one's offering you $1 billion.
I think they're trying
this.
To say that not only would you be risking your own jail time, but you would be ruining other people's lives.
I see.
In the process of selling the
drugs. I said
I
don't think I'd do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Sometimes if they get caught, do they lose the billion or can they still keep the billion?
No, you're going to keep it. You got to keep
it
no matter what.
Let's call it 20, years behind bars.
But you got to do the jail time. And like the drug dealing's like a non-for-profit, essentially, you know? You're not operating. You're not getting more money on top of it. That's a margin thing.
I was like,
the billions for that.
Non-profit drug dealer.
People have paid off stuff before. That's what I was going to ask. Because the follow-up is, would you be able to pay off your jail time, essentially? Because I'm sure that happens.
You can get a real good lawyer. You got the bill in front, so you can get a really, really good lawyer. You know?
My goodness. That is the trash of the day. Up next, we get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. One pending free agent for the Chiefs might have a stronger market than we realize. We'll tell you what that means for another option on the defense next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Yeah, at some point, we will give away a free Z-Man for a year from our friends at Joe's. They were in studio earlier today, dropped off some sandwiches, dropped off free Z-Man for a year to one lucky listener. We'll do that maybe in the noon or 1 o'clock hour today.
Because they got Z-Mans at the K this year on right field if you miss
it. It's going to be tempting every time you go out, though, to like, you know, I'll just go grab a
especially if you haven't had one in a while, because you and I both know we both like Joe's or whatever, you know, so like kind of tempting to be in there. Like, I don't hate the idea of just getting a Z-Man while I'm there.
But let's go across the parking lot for a little bit here, Chiefs Red Half Hour, and we know that Charles Omenihu is a free agent. I think we both would like him back. I wonder if this update changes your feeling on him. Maybe it makes it even more likely you would like him back, because Jordan Schultz, remember, we're Team Schultz on this show. I'm still trying to get him back on the show. I'm efforting that. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But Jordan Schultz reported late last night that defensive tackle Tershawn Wharton is a name who could exceed expectations in free agency next week. 8.5 sacks last year, including the playoffs. He's only 26 years old, so he's in his prime. He goes on to mention the interior defensive line market has been active, with several teams showing interest in Wharton among other available names. Now, look, I think we all know this works. This is clearly information he's getting from his agent, so I don't want to like act yeah. like it's definitive. But what's the deal for Turk Wharton going to look like? Is he going to have way more options than we thought? You start looking at what the Chiefs need at defensive tackle. Yeah, Chris Jones. Other than that, not much left, right? Charles Manning is a free agent. Turk Ward's a free agent. Derek Nnadi, like, they need somebody else, whether it's Turk Ward or Charles Manning, or just a name that they haven't had part of the organization, has to be part of that defensive line next year. I still am very interested in Charles Manning, but because of age, is Turk Ward getting more money than we think?
Maybe I'm misreading this because Jordan Schultz obviously has a pretty good inroad into the NFL free agency market. But like you said, this is coming from the agent side. Doesn't make any sense to me that he would have a market. He is still an undrafted free agent. He was available last year on a one-year deal. He had a great year. 6.5 sacks, 8.5 total, including the postseason. He had a great run. So I'm not saying nobody's going to give him a contract. I would just like to also point out something I think Drew and some others and Binkley on the Character Concerns podcast. It is very deep at defensive tackle. Very.
In the draft,
so,
yeah.
And so if the defensive tackle draft class is pretty deep, and he's a former undrafted guy coming off a career year, I don't know that there's going to be just this like infinitely strong market in order to bring him back. Maybe the Chiefs are deciding between, like, they'll have to decide between signing Charles Omenihu and signing Turk Wharton. I think it might actually be that they have to decide between signing Turk Wharton or signing Ike Bolton. And if those are the choices put in front of me, bring me Omenihu, bring me Wharton, and I'll figure out Bolton. Like, if I get to choose two out of those three free agents, I'm going on the Turk Wharton end because I do think he's a valuable player. He's a good defensive lineman who brings value to the team. But, like, if I got to go to the draft for it too, okay, I guess so be it. I'd still choose Omenihu, the outside pass rusher.
I think it's easier to find the Nick Bolton replacement in the draft, even though there's a lot of depth on the defensive line. Like, I just think in terms of year one starter, we've seen them do that with guys in the past, like Nick Bolton and Willie Gay. And Willie Gay had a little bit slower start because it was the COVID year and everything when he got, when he came into the league and everything. But this definitely is an agent pushing some of the info out there. So what's that deal? Is it like who's how many years getting a 2 or 3 year deal, 2 years guaranteed for what? I mean, I'm trying to think of even the range of money a Turk Wharton type would get. If you go back to where that, as you said, last year, he was only coming off of 2 sacks. That's the difference. In his entire career prior to this past year, he had like in 4 years, he had 4, 6, 7 sacks in his first 4 years. And then last year he had 6.5 in the regular season. And I guess the postseason bumped it up to 8.5, but he had 6.5 sacks last year. And yeah, he's only 26. I'm still very interested in Charles Omenihu just because I know it wasn't just a 1 year thing. Like, he's done it throughout his career. And anytime he's been available for the Chiefs, Charles Omenihu has been a problem for teams. And stands out. When you watch the game, Turk Wharton had a nice season. I don't know if I watched and thought, man, he's standing out every single time. You know, you worry about if I was another team signing him, you worry about, hey, what happens when he's not with Chris Jones? If you're Turk Wharton, like, I know Charles Omenihu did it before coming to Kansas City too, a little bit. No disrespect to Turk Wharton, but
when you get to be next to Chris Jones, your job's probably a little easier. Yep.
So I don't think maybe we're way off. I don't think his price is going to be so crazy where the Chiefs couldn't retain him.
I think it's going to be like 2 for 20. I mean, again, I could be way off here.
Who would you rather have just between the two? But let's say both were identical contracts, knowing the age, knowing the history.
Omenihu and...
Let's say they both were 2 for 20, and I don't think they'll both be that.
Outside pass rusher. Yeah. But that's because of the draft.
And Omenihu's going to get more than
that. And because they still have Chris Jones. If it were no Chris Jones, and they didn't have a deep defensive tackle thing, I might feel different about it, right? There's value in getting pressure from the interior line, right? But just based on the way that this would work, I just don't really understand. He just said... team showing interest, and he said expected to a name who could exceed expectations. I think a lot of what you're saying is what Jordan, you know, like what you're probably saying is the truth about it, which is his agent is trying to make it seem like he's got a lot of people out here vying for his business, but he is a day what free agent. We talk about this all the time. So the NFL views it this way too. Day one free agents are the names that you would expect. There aren't that many.
Monday,
but Chris Godwin.
Monday, the legal tampering window.
Yeah. So like Monday's a day one free agent. The biggest names signing the biggest contracts. Not the guys getting 2 for 20, 2 for 30, whatever. Not those guys. Those are day four?
That'll
those
be Friday.
Are sometimes second week later, contracts, yeah.
That'll be either late in the first week, like next weekend, not this weekend, next weekend, or yeah, it'll be the next week after that, the third wave kind of stuff.
Well, especially if we're talking like if he's got a lot of suitors, he might just wait and see what those teams do with those higher level free agents in the first place. Like, okay, let me survey my options actually and take a little bit more time. It is interesting because it's particularly defensive tackle, Cody, but even edge rushers in general as well. Like
just defensive line, right?
I mean, the Chiefs could take a very solid, very good edge rusher, probably still at 31. It depends on what you. I think it all comes back to what the plan is at left tackle. Dare I say? Because if your plan is we're not taking a tackle at 31, then I think your options. I think you're taking a defensive lineman at 31. I think that's just what you do, unless Luther Burden's there. Or whatever the case is, you take a defensive lineman because you could solve your problems where you're not replacing anybody. You're just filling in the depth. So when Turk needs to come out or when Charles needs to come out, you're not, no offense to Felix, but
they're gone a year or two from now.
If that guy can bounce right away up to that number two or the number three edge rusher spot where, hey, George Karlaftis needs a breather. We need somebody to come in. We're going to bring in a guy that just had 6 sacks in college, played in the SEC and knows exactly what he's doing. You know, maybe that's the direction they go, and it just depends on what they're going to do with that first round, I think.
A little update in the NFL just moments ago. Adam Schefter tweeted, this is definitely a trickle-down effect from the Chiefs tagging Trey Smith. The Rams are trading former Pro Bowl guard Jonah Jackson to Chicago. He was with Detroit for 4 years and then with Ben Johnson, and now is going to reunite with him in Chicago. So one, Ben Johnson's familiar with him, but remember, the Bears were thought to be either a trade candidate or just, hey, they're going to sign Trey Smith along with Tennessee. Well, now the Bears went out and traded for a Pro Bowl guard. That's directly a result of they know they're not getting Trey Smith. That move doesn't happen otherwise.
So. We all know, and again, this goes back to the same problem that exists in the entire draft. There's just not that many good offensive linemen. Like, these teams that have offensive line trouble, they're going to continue to have this issue as a result of the fact that there just aren't that many good options available on the free agent market and at the free agent market at all. And then it's like, wait, so if you're the Bears and you need like 3 guys in the offensive line gold, you can't solve them all in the draft. You have to solve some in free agency. And in free agency, there aren't any guys available. So
they give up a 5th round pick for this kid.
No, it makes a lot of sense. I don't blame them for that. This also tells you, again, like you said, going back to Trey Smith, there's a reason why they tagged him.
Yeah, and today is the franchise tag deadline. 3 o'clock our time. Is the latest, and we'll get into to Sam Darnold a little bit later on in the show, because the reports are that Sam Darnold is going to be a free agent, that they're not going to tag him. But we'll know that officially around 3 o'clock this afternoon. Just a couple things in the NFL. Also, the Cowboys made a big signing, re-signing, I should say, of their star defensive tackle. And I'll be honest, I don't know how to pronounce his last name at all. But I don't know if you guys saw that news come around.
Yeah, he was another guy who was franchise tagged.
Yeah.
Or so, was expected to be.
Exactly. And so, who knows? Maybe the Chiefs get something done here very soon. But the Cowboys in defensive tackle, was it Osa? Odigizuwa, I don't know, reached an agreement on a 4-year, $80 million deal that includes $58 million guaranteed, $20 million signing bonus. So the Cowboys recently, since August, have given 4 years, $240 to Dak, 4 years, $136 to CeeDee Lamb, and now 4 years, $80 to Osa.
I mean, they're trying to contain, like, they have a quarterback who makes a ton of money. We just looked that up yesterday. Remember, he's a $96 million cap hit. If that's the position you're in, you have to try to take advantage of it while you have the chance to take advantage of it. Dak Prescott's not getting younger. There's a lot of other good quarterbacks. Now there's a young quarterback, maybe future star in your division. Like, you got prop Eagles in your same division, just won the Super Bowl. They're trying to keep up with the Joneses, not to mention the Joneses.
I was going
to
say,
the actual.
I see what you're doing.
They're trying to, you know, like, can I be blunt for a second? Jerry Jones wants to win a Super Bowl before he's dead.
Of course.
And so he's not going to be like cap conscious or like, let these guys go into free agency and we'll build it better next year. Next year, he might be dead. And so he's not taking the chance that's the case.
Well,
how old is he?
I'm not sure.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, you're not wrong. You just,
I'm being truthful.
Yeah.
You did say
he's 82.
Blunt.
He'll be 83 in the middle of the season. No, there's no doubt. Like, he is trying to win one before he passes away. Unfortunately, how he's trying to win one is not going to equate to him winning one. What was weird is he didn't speak at the end. I guess he normally at the end of the combine, he typically would do like an interview right outside his bus or whatever. And I guess he declined to comment and said, I'll talk when I get back. And everybody's like, whoa, what is it? No, Jerry Jones says he doesn't want to talk to the media. Is he okay? Someone please check on this man.
He's busy getting this deal done.
I guess. Maybe that was the case. Thinking of deals that could get done, I think with the update we got from Forbes Sports last night that Donovan Smith believes he's now healthy and ready to go in 2025. And maybe the reason why the Chiefs did not sign him, we now know, is he had a hip injury that nobody else thought he was 100% healthy. That's why they chose DJ Humphries, among maybe other reasons, instead of Donovan Smith. But he's good to go. Well, he's coming off an injury. DJ Humphries is still basically coming off an injury. Only played for 3.5 quarters last season. I mean, that's all he played in the NFL for Kansas City. They're both free agents. The Chiefs' best plan should be convincing both Humphries and Donovan Smith that, hey, we know you're both vets, come into camp and battle for the job. You can convince them to do that. I'm signing Humphries. I'm signing Donovan Smith. Hell, I'm working even Juwan Taylor at left tackle in the offseason because I think those three are their only options. I do not want them trying to bring in Ronnie Stanley and overpaying. I don't want them overpaying for Cam Robinson and giving me average guard play for a lot of money. And we just discussed the draft, right, and how it's very unrealistic that they can go and get a day one starter at tackle. A lot of tackles are day one starters, but most people think they'll be converted to guard. So I know that this solution isn't going to appease everybody, but if you can convince, and I don't know if they can, Humphries and Donovan Smith to truly battle it out, that's your best shot.
I would say that would, like, if you gave me, if I was Brett Veach, I think that should probably be plan A. Two vets up against each other. And I think this could include Tyron Smith if he still wants to play. Two vets battle it out. One wins. And if, like, I understand how this works, I think legitimately to convince him to do this, you got to tell DJ Humphries, like, it's your job to lose, dude. If you stay healthy, I mean, you're definitely the starter. And you got to tell Donovan Smith, you're not getting a starting job anywhere else. Where do you think the best chance for you to start is? The guy who didn't play last year? Probably him. Like, you know we're going to be looking for anything, and you know that we've started you at left tackle in a Super Bowl win. So you know we got some confidence in you more than we got in this guy, DJ. Come on, we're just telling him it's his job to lose because that's what we had to tell him. You guys are really in a competition. Not to say you have to lie or anything outside of that, but just like...
You're playing both sides.
You're right. Telling them different stories to convince them to do what Alex is doing. Plan B? Is there even a good plan B, or is plan B just Humphries and a third round tackle? Right? I mean, that's legit. There is no C. Those are the only two plans we have left remaining. Do you have a different one? Sign Cam Robinson as somebody's plan C or
sure.
D or B yeah. or whatever. It wouldn't be.
I just don't think value-wise.
C,
yeah, for the production we think you're going to get out of Cam Robinson, the dollar amount required to pull that off, I just don't think it is a good way to operate. I would rather just say, all right, we're gonna have a bunch of options that we're gonna play this thing out. We're not going to go into training camp solely thinking it's DJ Humphries' job. No, we're gonna convince Donovan Smith to compete. And my pipe dream is still to have Juwan Taylor get work at left tackle. And let me at least find my answer out to the question, can he play left tackle? I think they probably aren't willing to do that, but I would be interested in finding that out. And then if you want to still draft one, I don't hate that because you always need offensive line depth. Just three different guys to make it happen. And one of them, I would think, can be average. That's all you're average for 17 games, please.
And then the guy behind him not be like unplayable because like Kingsley ended up being unplayable. You can't, like, that's it. It's like if one of these guys are out for 3 weeks, let's just say they get them both in and DJ Humphries gets the start. And then week 7 through 10, he can't play. I just need a guy. Donovan Smith is not unplayable. Kingsley was. Maybe Kingsley won't be. By week 7 next year seems unlikely based on the fact that they're already talking about him at guard. But like,
I just worry that you can't convince both of them to do that. They're two vets and they're about 31 or whatever. I just wonder if now it requires a better opportunity elsewhere. And that's something we just don't know yet if there is. But if there's not, can you convince two guys that are prideful, obviously think they both should start
and have started
and all that. And they're towards the end of their career at least. Can he convince them to do that? Because boy, oh boy, I think that's actually the best scenario heading into St. Joe, if that's the case.
If I could build out a scenario, it would look exactly like that. The only problem, I think sometimes we discuss ideas in the show and we're admitting that it's probably too pie in the sky.
Yeah.
This feels like one of those ones that, like, I don't think is a 0% chance gold, but I do think probably lands in that, like, 5 to 10% chance because of the moving parts. You got to convince both of them to sign for an amount that makes sense. Essentially, like, you need the amount to combine to be one-year deals worth of starting tackle money between the two of them. You're not trying to pay them both starter tackle money, and I think Donovan Smith would obviously cost less than DJ Humphries, I think. And so, like, it's threading a very tight needle. Brett Veach is a very good general manager. Not saying that's not plausible. I'm just saying that that adds into a little bit of a challenge where we're going to, like, you know, I think just run into, like, kind of a fine line of can they make all of those moving pieces work and actually convince these teams to do it. Brett Veach has got, I don't know where this ranks. We usually do this summer in the offseason. Like, for Brett Veach, this is like a medium level offseason for him. It's not. Is it the worst offseason he's had to overcome? No, I don't think that. Pretty good at wide receiver. He's set currently at 4 of the 5 offensive line spots. I think he doesn't have to go find. He doesn't have to replace his future Hall of Fame tight end. He's got to replace a safety, maybe. And this is if nobody comes back. A safety, a linebacker, 1 to 2 defensive linemen.
And a left tackle.
A left tackle, I mean, and a corner. He needs corner depth.
And I think a running back. I mean,
there's a lot of spots, man. Like, I felt pretty good there at the beginning of that sentence. And then towards the end, I'm like, well, you got some work to do.
There's some solutions that are easier, right? Like, the running back thing, I wouldn't even waste free agency on that. I would just go and draft one and say, I'm going to have the rookie with Pacheco and Carson Steele basically going into next season. I would be fine with that, depending on the rookie who they draft. And, you know, the left tackle, we just acknowledged what we think they should do, and basically throwing a bunch of different bodies at it and seeing if it works kind of thing.
Yeah.
Except this time do it in the off season instead of middle of the season, which is what, I mean, that's essentially what they did.
In the middle of the season, they did do that, but they had to do it on the cheaper, quicker way, right? That's why it was Humphries and
let's say they do the left tackle thing the way you guys are talking about, and they bring Humphries and Smith in. For who would you want in the first round take? Like position? Wide receiver, defensive corner, line. Or defensive line?
At that point, I would say defensive line or wide receiver would be my two
you would wait for corner until second or third round then?
Yeah. If you made me rank them...
Because obviously it depends on who's available.
The truth is I'd be fine with any of those three. But if you made me rank them based on the position I would want the most, if they did that at left tackle, it would still be defensive line first. Corner second, wide receiver third. I still think there's a possibility of Hollywood Brown or some other wide receiver coming in here.
Yeah, we'll know by draft time. Yeah,
which pushes that need further down, obviously. So, sure. Like, I'm just kind of envisioning in a way in which I think it's more likely that problem is solved than a free agent corner. I mean, they could bring in, like, technically the Eagles have cut 2 corners today or yesterday in the last 24 hours. They cut Darius Slay and James Bradbury, who did not play most of the season because he suffered an injury that kept him out a good chunk of the year. They cut him as well. So, like, they put some corners on the street. Those are usually available a little bit. And I don't think they need a number one corner. They need corner.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah, it's weird. The Justin Reed is the one, out of all the free agents, he's the one that nobody's talking about. Right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like we've talked about Charles Menehue. We've talked about, of course, about Nick Bolton. And at the time, Trey Smith, even though he's going to be tagged now. And Justin Reed, he's not coming back. I feel like and he was a really good player for them. It's interesting. We've just kind of seen what they do at that position.
I guess it's because that's it. I would worry more gold if anytime I've seen them replace the position over and over again, I don't care. It's not that I think he's a great leader. I think he's a great teammate. He seems like he's a great person. And he was a good player for Kansas. Helped win a couple of championships, right? 2 Super Bowls under Justin Reed. He was no better or worse than Tyrann Mathieu, who they let leave. They signed for identical contracts, just a little younger. And they have spent quite a few draft resources at safety over the last few years, and all those guys look like they can play at least a little.
Yeah.
Shamari Connor, Brian Cook, and Jaden Hicks from last year. I'm not even sure they have to draft a safety to replace him or sign a safety to replace him. They can hypothetically just play all the dudes they have in house. And I know that they have been doing the free agency thing at safety to go with it, and they might still do that and just... because they play Connor more like a linebacker a lot of times than they necessarily always play him like a safety, or they play him like a corner or something. He plays all over. But, like, legitimately, if they've done it more than one time, it's hard to get overly concerned, isn't it, when that's a position they've been able to replace.
It is interesting how they've... because I think that was something, Cody, to your point, that came up where Brett Veach and, you know, Spags and Andy have drafted ahead of, a year ahead of the need.
Yeah, smart teams
where,
do.
you know, Reed is a free is going to be a free agent, but hey, we already drafted Hicks, we've already drafted Connor, we've already spent the resources, you know, ahead of time to get those DBs. It really goes back to, like we've talked about, the tackle, where if you know that you can solve that outside of the draft, it makes the way that you go through things, I think, a whole lot easier. Where if you don't go tackle in free agency or whatnot, and you say you need to draft them, all of a sudden, where do you spend your resources, and where do you get a defensive lineman second round? How badly do you think you need another wide receiver? All these things trickle down to what do you do at the tackle spot?
Yeah, the draft just gets so much clearer once we know through free agency what they do. Like, it'll become a lot. It'll probably
about
be able
two
to
weeks.
Narrow down. Yeah, once the league year starts and everything like that. A reminder, we had Matt Miller from ESPN, their draft analyst, on the show earlier. If you missed some of that, we'll bring that back in the 1 o'clock hour today. We asked him about the tackle situation, about linebacker, about also a local product in Luther Burden, and where could he go? Does he believe some of the mock drafts? He called those people crazy that have Luther Burden not going in the first
round. He said he's the best wide receiver in the draft, I think.
Yeah, he went said as far he's as the number he one the wide receiver in the draft.
We'll have that again coming up a little bit later. Drew, I have an update. I have someone that just texted in that's a listener of the show that says they raise your bid if you missed it. Drew is trying.
Logitech racing wheel.
He doesn't trust Facebook Marketplace after paying for his own couch. Yes, you heard me right.
It's more of my mistake, but still good reason.
So he's asking listeners to buy a Logitech racing wheel
G29
with pedals and everything. Yep. Somebody that listens to the show that I know is good for it says $125. They'll pick it up Friday night at Kelly's when we do our bar tab. That's the new bid for you.
I mean, but you got to sell it now.
I want to be honest. Do I need to commit now?
Oh, I think he's just putting it. He's offering you $125.
Yeah. All right. So $125. If nobody by the end of the show is raised, or you know what, I might even say within by 12:30.
This is a good friend. You got to make deals with friends sometimes. This is what happens when you take it to the marketplace.
He'll pick it up Friday night at the event. That's what he says. I have a text. I know who it is.
If they're texting you directly, they're probably good for it.
All right, you know what?
Are they good for it? You know your friends better than other people. You know which friends aren't good for it.
Would your friend mind if we know his first name?
Oh, Austin? He's a listener of the show. Cody, you might know him too.
Sold to Austin for $125.
Wow! There you go. Congratulations, Austin.
He says sold. See you Friday.
Deal's a deal, man. I don't know what to say.
That was a bump from the other bid that was there. Deal's a deal.
All right. You can make arrangements. I'll connect.
Okay.
Put people in,
I mean, it could arrive
at the same time and put it in the other person's car. You know the deal.
This is not a drug deal, Cody. This is I have a racing wheel. I could walk into Kelly's with it and just have it with me. It's not a problem.
You walking into Kelly's
the whole time? That's annoying.
No. I'm saying I could. I'm not going to. Cash or Venmo?
Someone says, Drew, I'll buy your wheel. Venmo me 50 so I know you're serious.
Even though Alex knows Austin, if he asks you to send him money first, don't do it, dude.
I should tell him. By the way, ask him to send you a few bucks first.
I just want to make sure those deposits are working. And then Dusty got scammed like a month ago.
Yeah, but that was just like a normal scam. And then a lot of people have been getting scammed with the whole toll thing. You've seen that, right?
I've gotten those texts.
Where people, what's tricky for some people, I think they got caught because they were on a toll recently and then they got the text saying, hey, pay your toll bill. KTAG on the Kansas side, they don't text you if you have a bill due. You just go online or they'll mail you something if you owe. He says, perfect, by the way, Drew. See you guys Friday.
Beautiful.
He'll give you cash.
Thank you, man. Cold, hard cash
from the 913. Drew, if you're going to treat the listeners as if we are Facebook Marketplace, 10% of your sales have to go to the garage sale. I'll dedicate 10% of that.
$12.50.
Towards a bid, towards the garage sale.
And if it doesn't
win me anything, I will donate to the cause for sure.
There you go. All right, up next, we get to what's trending, then back into just how long one of the legends for the Royals will still be playing and what history tells us about that next.